F2A. Number 21A.
So after we have stated the elements of the laws, we can now use that law in many, many ways according to the situation in which we are in or according to the problem that is under consideration. Always then, when we can see that something is lacking which needs the fullness of the Christ, then we can go back to that law of Ephesians. It's a wonderful law because it's that law of fullness. So if we take those three elements and go through those three elements from the point of view of the synonymous terms, then we can see, for instance, the following. But it is, for instance, it's not the only way that you can use it. I just give some bananas and some apples, but you can afterwards have horses and etc. Yes. So if we take principle, now we again define 1, 2, 3. When we claim our conscious unity with principle, that's 1, then comes 2, principle fully translates itself to us. That's 2. Then comes 3, filling us with the fullness of, and now you take ideas of principle, of spiritual power, is an idea of principle, demonstrating power, is an idea of principle, of authoritative power, is an idea of principle. Can you see? So we can see if the problem under consideration is a question that we don't have enough spiritual power, or that we don't have enough demonstrating power, or enough authoritative power, then we can say, from where do I take it? From where do I take that power? And we shouldn't take it from anywhere else than from God and His Christ. God and the fullness of Christ. So I take it there when I just first begin to sit down, and in stillness of my mental, of my consciousness, I begin to claim very consciously my unity with that Christ, with the fullness of Christ, with the glory of Christ. So there I start. I don't start with saying I have all the power in the world. Man has spiritual power. I don't start there. Just as Paul never started there. He always said from the Father and through Jesus Christ. So I have to do that same thing. I have to go back and rely on the Word and the Christ. So within myself it prays, and at the same time it claims. And I claim what I pray, and I claim my conscious unity with principle. That alone may be a little struggle, to see that I'm actually one with principle, that within me there is nothing else but that principle which is also God. So that alone may be a little struggle, but that's the struggle of prayer. Whereas here we rely on the point that we have really made prayer our own. And so we say, all right, now I claim through thick and thin, I claim that I'm one with that principle which is God. And that principle translates itself. It has a Christ. I come to the 2. That principle fully translates itself to us. And so I claim that that principle translates itself to us. I don't say, well, it doesn't translate itself. My conscious unity with principle is just something with a God on high. Now I claim also that that principle translates itself fully, in all its fullness, to me, so that nothing is missing. Translates itself to us, and does what when it comes to us? It begins to fill us with the fullness of spiritual power. So I see if I'm one with principle, principle is one with me, principle is one with me in its whole fullness, and therefore what I get is principle's idea, principle's quality. Therefore, spiritual power of principle rests in me, the demonstrating power of principle rests in me, it's the authority of principle that rests in me, and I feel a sense of authority within myself. That's one way of exemplifying. So you could take any other idea of principle. Let's say you take government and you say, all right, I take government, because that's always a great question today, the right idea of government, that's so necessary to see what that is. So if I want to demonstrate government, I better go first to principle. And so I first fill my thought and my whole longing and my whole desire with God and claim that I'm one and consciously one with that principle of being. And I see that if I touch the principle touches me, therefore principle as a Christ translating itself in its fullness to me or to us. Then comes three, and that gives me the power of government. That gives me the right idea of government. That gives me really the right sense of government. And so I feel that government is just filling itself up within me, and I see that government in all its aspects. Yeah. Let's take life, an example of life. When we claim our conscious unity with life, that's one. Now comes two. Life fully translates itself to us. You see, it's constantly a stereotyped way of wording it. One and two is constantly stereotyped, the same wording. Filling us with what? Now I have to see that life fills us with the ideas of life, not with ideas of truth or of love, but with ideas of life, filling us with a full way of life, for instance, with a full way of life, a full method of living, and a full exaltation and aspiration. You have ideas of life here, namely way, then method, then exaltation and aspiration. These are all ideas of life. They are not the drunken sense of life, they are the exalted sense of life. So everybody would like to go the way of life and would see that he has a full way of life. That way of life is a method of living that brings us exaltation, that brings us aspiration, that brings us ascension. How do I get it? I don't get it by wishing it, I would have it. I get it through the laws of the Christ. And I begin to say, now, first of all, I have to go to my source, namely to the Word and to the Christ. So I go inwardly in a prayerful attitude. I build up my unity with, consciously, with life. And then I claim it. That's the horizontal of Christ. And I claim that unity with life, and see that I cannot have any other life but that life which is God. And I can have no other life but that life which has no beginning and no ending. I can have no other life but that life which is spiritual and has never been material, has never lived in a body, and never dies out of body. I begin to claim just my conscious unity with life. And sometimes it's a little bit of struggle to get that peaceful unity with the one life. But then I know when I touch that peaceful unity with the one life, that has the Christ power within itself. It translates itself to me and to everybody in its fullness of life. But I don't leave it there. I see, what is that fullness of life? What does it give it to me? And I see, it can only give me the ideas of life. Therefore here, say, the fullness of a right living, the full method of the way of life. It's a wonderful thing, that way of life. We all need a way of life. We all need an ordered way of life. We all need that our life has an ordered development. That's the way of life. So that it is not the chaotic, a haphazard happening my life, but that it is a spiritually ordered way of life, where every step that I spiritually make, is the presupposition for the next step that I make. And that, again, is the precondition for the third step that I make. So that there is a way, an ordered way of life. And that we will see that next week very clearly, how that developed. So this is a big idea, that way of life. And that way of life comes to me. I don't have to find it myself. I don't have to construct it myself. I don't have to think out that way through the wilderness. It is given to me by the grace of God and the fullness of the Christ. It's given to me. Or we take truth. Again, as an example, 1 Romans 1, when we claim our conscious unity with truth, now comes point 2, truth fully translates itself to us, now comes 3, filling us with what? Now must come ideas of truth. Truth can only fill me up with truth, namely with complete dominion, with a full sense of affirming the truth, of claiming the truth, of standing firmly on the rock of truth. And you see here that what Paul also would very often say, that I can voice the truth boldly when I am before the church. Here it is a general way showing that that truth, that unity with truth, fills me with the dominion of truth, so that I have dominion, that I know what man is, that we know what we are, therefore affirming the truth about man, claiming the truth about man, so that we have inwardly really the certainty that we are what we are. Therefore we can claim what we are. We can take love and see, when we claim our conscious unity with love, love fully translates itself to us, how? Filling us with a full sense of what? Now comes ideas of love, rest, peace, fulfillment, completion, consummation, all ideas of love. Naturally, that full sense of love cannot come into us and abide within us if we have not first made the first step, namely, that I am consciously one with love. That's the preconditioning. I first have to find my unity with God. Okay, so, when we claim our conscious unity with soul, then comes two, soul fully translates itself to us, then three, filling us with what? With the fullness of, and now come all the ideas of soul, namely transforming, reforming, translating, and exchanging capacity of soul. So I can see, if I feel I should be a better man and should reform and that I should be transformed, I don't start there and say, all right, then I will be very careful over every situation, that in every situation I do better. And instead of doing the wrong, I'm going to do the right. And then I'm under the law. Then I'm under metaphysics. That's what metaphysics does. And that's what moral does. And it has not much power. It has not really Christ's power. It's quite different if I first pray, if I'm still within myself and fill my consciousness with the beauty of what soul itself is, and see the beauty of soul, that soul does do all these things like transforming, exchanging and reforming and translating. If I fill my thought with that unity of soul, then that comes to me in its fullness, as then that full power to transform me, comes in me and transforms me, so that I'm under grace and not under the laws of the work. Or we take spirit. We have here When we claim our conscious unity with spirit, then comes two. Spirit fully translates itself to us. Three, filling us with a full sense of. Now comes the ideas of spirit, like spiritual baptism, true separation, true purification, and clear discernment and order. So these are all ideas of spirit. So in finding really order, I have to see that I first have absolute agreement within myself with spirit and contemplate spirit as order. That spirit has hierarchical order, that spirit has creative orders, that spirit has order in calculus, that spirit as law is order. And I begin to see more and more what order is in spirit. And as I contemplate that and fill my thought with the order of spirit, then that spirit comes to me and slowly fills me with a sense of order. It comes and begins to order things within me. That spirit is something wonderful about order. You know, you are in a chaotic situation and you think, is there an answer to that? And we don't see the answer, or else we wouldn't pray. We don't see the answer. There is no way out. And yet we feel there must be a way out. Which is that way out? So I entertain really that sense of spirit as order in every way that I know it. And let the spirit blow where it listens, because then I know that the spirit comes and begins to move up on the waters of mortal mind. That movement of spirit comes in, which begins to shift things around, which begins to find new channels, which begins to find new relationships, so that new situations arise of which I have never been thinking of, so that something happens which is absolutely unpredictable, and that changes the whole thing. So in thousands and thousands of ways that spirit blows, but always with one purpose, to bring things into order. Order out of chaos. That's what spirit does. And because we are in chaos, in a crisis, and don't see the way out, we have to rely absolutely through our conscious faith in spirit. That spirit is order, has a Christ, brings order, and establishes order within us. So sometimes you are up against a situation where you just feel, oh, there is no answer to it. I just can't figure out with my mind what the answer is. And then you have that situation. Well, what can we do? We cannot say, now I find the order, how to solve it when I don't know how to solve it. So I must go to a completely different principle. I go to the principle called spirit. And that principle called spirit is order by itself, and contains all that belongs to order, like law. Law is heaven, or order is heaven's first law. So a law, order has to do with law. Order has to do with all that is hierarchical. Order has to do with the sequence of a creative sequence, of a creative activity that unfolds in order. Order has to do with so many things which say, look here, there is the Spirit of God moving up on that water, upon that chaotic situation. And Spirit is going to shift things around. And shift things around by bringing in certain experiences, perhaps that one is coming to a point where another idea that not transformation of ideas, the acquaintance of other ideas suddenly come in, where suddenly something makes us awake to something of which we have never been thinking. And so it begins to move up on the waters and brings order. The moment in the days of creation the Spirit was brooding over the water, it could say, let there be. And then the whole creative order was flowing out of that point. So this is happening within our life. And we have to have that faith in spirit, that spiritual understanding, that spirit is order and comes to us in the fullness of order and begins to dwell in us and bring order into our lives. Or, yes, we had mind. Now we have here the example, when we claim our conscious unity with mind, mind fully translates itself to us, filling us with the fullness of what? Of the manifestation of mind, of the manifestation of the full realm of ideas, the full power of expression and of action. This is all ideas of mind. So I begin to see that mind is manifesting itself in its fullness, manifesting itself in the realm of ideas. It's manifesting itself as power, as the power of manifestation, and so that can never be suppressed. It will manifest itself, and it will come out in its clarity. It will crystallize as a clear idea, as an idea that is full of light, that is crystal clear, so that there is no more any doubt about it, no more any quivering about it. We know that we know then. And that's the point of mind. Yes. So in this way you can use these laws over and over, but you must see that they always apply to a very definite situation. It's a very different situation than in Galatians. Or it is a very different situation than perhaps in Romans. That has a completely different question, a completely different problematics. But the beauty is that we don't have thousands and thousands of different problems, that we have only a few fundamental problems. Namely, in Christianity we have those 16 fundamental problems. All the other problems are just other individual expression of these general fundamental laws. Yes. So we don't have really to think, well, there are infinite problems, and therefore we need infinite diversified laws to solve those problems. We don't have. We can take problems and reduce them first to really a category. That's actually, that needs experience, that needs culture, so that one can reduce a subject at once to its right categories. That one sees at once, well, this is a problem that has to do with Christianity. With what kind of Christianity? Oh, that has to do with that Christianity which is at the point of Christ as Christ. Namely, that Christianity which says, from where do I get the fullness of my being? From where do I get it? The fullness of my being. Says, Christ as Christ says, it comes from the vertical, namely from the fullness of Christ in Ephesians, and you have it if the horizontal is right, if you claim that for yourself, then you get it. Yes? Yeah, actually we have finished Ephesians, but while I was reading these laws, I constantly wanted to interrupt me, and I always said, no, I hope I don't forget it at the end. So at the end of it, I, thank God, remembered it, and I say, thank God, because I have seen many, many years ago, 25 years ago, that when I was teaching these laws to the students, that the students actually didn't quite get it. They made out of it a rosary, doing the beads. They were trying very hard, I must say, to first intellectually get hold of the elements and its law. And when one is not careful, then one gets into just a routine then one gets into a stereotyped speech instead of into a stereotyped law. And then one just repeats, yes, when I claim our conscious unity with the Christ, then the Christ fully translates itself and fills us with his fullness. You can make out of that just a praying machine. And there I could see that actually it's not so easy to teach these laws, because one has to teach with it, so to say, prayer. Because these laws must all be, so to say, a state of prayerful state of consciousness. Or else they are just words. They are just statements. So that's why I said this first element, where we say, when we claim our conscious unity with the Christ, it's the Christ mind or the Christ spirit or the Christ soul or principle, life, truth, love, doesn't matter. But to claim our conscious unity with the Christ, that's not a statement, that's an inner attitude, an inner spiritual attitude. And in order to have that spiritual inner attitude, you have to have within yourself the point where you really feel the spiritual touch of it. Until one doesn't feel that spiritual touch of it, one should really struggle in that prayer. See, just as she said in the chapter on prayer, that you have to struggle for it and to strive for it. Desire is not enough. Striving is necessary. One has to strive how to get our consciousness to the point of being at peace, so that one really feels, yes, I can see that I can't be anything else but consciously aware of God, because there is nothing going on but God. And where one has, so to say, through atonement and Eucharist, cleared out all the opposition that comes up, all the suggestions that come up within one's mind. Haven't you experienced that when you pray and when you want to concentrate on the truth, that always something else seems to come in and says, but. And that is naturally atonement and Eucharist. That is, or what is necessary to overcome that is atonement and Eucharist, that we first have to overcome all these but through the Christ power. That the Christ power is at work and translates everything to the point of idea. So when you do these laws, please, please, please think of that prayerful attitude. Or you and I together will experience that you get indigestions, very bad indigestions, mental indigestions, and you get sick of those laws. And you throw them away. And perhaps even do what others have done, accuse me of teaching that without that spiritual touch. Yes.